I raced through the streets, bouncing from mother to toddler, bank manager to hippie, dopey emo to bent old man. Each time I manhandled somebody, I got a trinket from their soul, a memory, the bad taste in their mouth, a dream bubble. I put these things in a little basket Uncle Steve had brought me back from Kiev. It was pretty full by now, and I'd been told that I needed to empty it at a special lock before I overloaded. I had other things on my mind. I rushed past a corner shop and saw the ginger blur reflected in the glass. The yelps and screams behind me indicated that this was a big one. They had been getting bigger recently. More ginger, more sugar, sometimes even an extra head. One day the thing would be so big it could just stoop down and scoop me up in its paw. For now, though, the chase was on. I ducked into a department store, felt the listless fog splinter around me as the ginger man walked through the display cases, and then I was out into blinding sunshine and into a queue of people waiting for another wobbly bus. She looks in the mirror, a glint touches her eye. She is old, very old, her skin wreathed in crinkles and wrinkled, but inside she is still the little girl with the red shoes and apples. She doesn't recognise the face looking back. Eyes confused and sunken. A bell. Somebody at the door? The ginger man was closing. If I could just make it past the trees, I would be free home. But there it was. I was in it before I even saw it. Skidding through the water and onto my back, the sudden cold punch of cold ground making a mockery of my flight with hard finality. Two red boots, Wellington kind, above them red and black striped leggings, further above the endless holy sound of a girl laughing. A young woman, then my eyes soared upwards into corresponding brown and were lost. The ginger man shattered into bite-sized pieces and another scale was lost. The scale of wind rush on ocean, when the sky whips the waves into a tempest and your heart hammers against your chest, your nose and hair wild with salt and electricity. The scale is gone, never to be remembered. No more winds, no more ocean frenzy. The girl vanished in a fast blur, from saviour to mermaid to shipwreck, and I awoke, in a tight bed, feeling like cigarettes and too much television. I screwed my eyes shut and tried to get to sleep. On the news, a grey-headed man was talking in a serious voice. The sound was turned down, but I could see pictures of waves crashing onto rocks. The newsreader kept shaking his head, and the woman sitting next to him looked sad. I blinked and climbed out of bed. The room was dark and cold. I could hear the clock ticking and wondered what I had to do that day. The train to Dead Sand left in 2 hours. If I didn't waste any time, I could make it and be feeling warm sand between my toes by lunchtime. I wanted to wander aimlessly around the pier, buy some rock, maybe meet some red-cheeked seaside girls. If I didn't get dressed and make a start, I'd be wandering around the town again on the verge of trouble or over. Tickets, please. The train wobbled more than all the buses in the world. It was full of bits of gum and old stains. The toilet was locked, so I sat back watching the sun-flecked countryside flip past. We sped past the ditches on the edge of town where people dumped old trolls, and then we were in open countryside. Yellow and green treetops, low fences, the occasional house. I loved getting out of the dirty town with its dirty people and dirty secrets. No gingerbread, no chases, no theft. I wondered if I would notice the lack of wind on the sea when I got to Dead Sand. I had an abiding memory of that place, my father, a very strange and inward-turned man, holding me up above the hedge so I could see a dog eating a discarded sandwich. It licked the bread and butter, gulped down a slice of sunburned cheese, glanced at me with deep brown eyes and was off down the dunes, alone and wild, joyful after a free lunch. I could feel my father laughing, something he did so infrequently it was worrying to watch. His ribs bounced up and down under his skin, then he put me down. Lit a cigarette and told me to go back to my mother while he went to buy some bait. His smile was gone, the lonely ghost had slipped back under those bouncing ribs, but the moment was already imprinted in my mind. It nestled there with two or three others that comprised the totality of my authentic experience of the man who made me.